Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is the Icon here, and we had a little bit of difficulty getting the show going here, but I think we got it under control. Hope you all can hear me. We're going to get our we got two guests scheduled tonight here. We got an hour and 2 minutes left. We were originally going to have two guests on at an hour apiece, but we're going to drop that down to 30 minutes apiece because we had some technical difficulty. Anyway, this is the Icon taking over for Jordan Garber here on Cut the Promo Podcast. As you all know, I've done this before. I've stolen the show before, and I'm going to do it again. And that's what I'm doing right now. So hopefully we can get the guest on right quick here, and we'll go right into this and go to it and see what we got going on. Let's see if we can get them on. And hopefully they will call in. So we shall see what happens. If not, you'll be just listening to me talk for a while. So that's basically what we got going on. Yeah. So, you know, this is kind of difficult to do, as you all know, just by myself because I have nobody to interact with. But we'll just kind of go through this and see what we got going on and see if I can get our first guest connected, and we'll see what is happening. So I hope everybody's having a great weekend. And as you all know, Cut the Promo Podcast comes to you live every Sunday from what is supposed to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time to midnight Central Standard Time, but a little late. I do apologize for that. So when our guest calls in, we will get them on, and we'll start this interview process. So that is what our goal is, and hopefully we can make that goal work. Anywho, normally at this time, I'd either be asking Granny Hulkster or Big Swing or Garber what they've been up to, but since they're not here, I can't really ask them anything. I really have nobody to interact with until the guest calls in. So, yeah. So I'm going to try and get our guest on as quickly as I can. And we'll get this thing going here right quick. And I do apologize if I'm stammering all over myself, because I technically am, because I don't have anybody to interact with. So that's basically the way it is. Okay, so it appears that the call-in thing is working fine, which is good news for all you who don't want to just hear me talk about nothing. So hopefully the guest will call in, and if not, I'm going to try and get the other guest, and we'll bump the other guest on after that. Just waiting here for the first guest to call in, checking the board, waiting for them to call in. And I know this is just really riveting radio for all of you out there. I do apologize. We had some technical issues, and it happens. And there's nothing we can do about technical problems. And I do apologize for that. And as we're waiting, you all know that I host a show on Monday nights, which is Latitude Air Live from 10 p.m. Central to from 9 p.m. Central to midnight or 11 p.m. Central. We're gonna have a blockbuster show with us. We got three guest nights coming aboard with us. We are going to have Chase Brighton, and we're going to have a few others, but I'll go over that in a second. Let me get the guest on here real quick.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Give me one second here. Let me switch something up here. Okay, this is our first guest, and just so we can let everybody know who you are, if you want to introduce yourself, then we'll give you some then we'll interview you.
Sure, my name's Sexy Black, and I am an independent professional wrestler based out of Ohio.
That is awesome. So, being an independent wrestler. You've been in the business for how long at this point?
That's kind of a layered question. I've actually been in and around wrestling since I was like 15. But as far as like training, I started training in September and officially got cleared to have like show matches about 2 months ago.
And with that being said, what is the main company that you're currently working with?
I'm kind of all over the place, especially just starting out. But I've really been building with a company called MPWA New Breed, and they are based out of Michigan. But what's cool about them is they showcase a lot of newer talent, people that are kind of just getting started. And they build the show around them. It's kind of a two shows under one company. They have MPWA, which has a lot of the vets, older talent. And then they have New Breed, which again is a lot of the newer guys. So work for them. A lot coming up, but I'm kind of all over the place.
So technically the company is basically WWE and NXT, basically.
Yeah, you could liken it to that, sure.
And if you can let us know, how many matches would you say that you've had to this point?
At this point, I will be going on my fourth, which is... I'm green kid on the block. But, you know, of course, in training, you have practice matches all the time. But actual show matches will be on my fourth one. Done a lot of different things. Worked as a ref. I managed most recently, like, got to put on the hat of being a backstage promo interviewer for Infinite Pro, which was pretty cool. Kind of like to do a little bit of everything, but wrestling as an actual wrestler is my main hat that I would prefer to wear, but I'm down to help and do with whatever.
So in that aspect, as you mentioned it, would you kind of consider yourself, you're kind of like doing like what Sonny used to do?
Yeah, you know, kind of in a way. Sure. And that's fine by me because I look at his experience no matter what. Like I said, and back in November, because I was still in training, I got to help ref for one of the shows, which, you know, they really just kind of wanted me to have experience being in front of the crowd and get used to that, which was fun. And you get to see, like, the different sides and different aspects of, you know, matches and how things go down that way. But again, I've been around for a long time. I've spent, you know, over half my life being involved with wrestling in one way or the other. So, you know, I'm kind of used to it, but I like it. It's experience. Get to learn.
Jexy Black is our guest here. Now, Jexy, I know we said that we were going to have you on for about a half hour, but our show it kind of got messed up, and I do apologize, and I apologize for other guests because we had some technical difficulties in the studio for some reason. You know, we had this storm going on, and it messed up the phone lines and our computer system, so we couldn't get onto our computers because the power was out.
Right. That's all good.
And I'm sitting there doing this on my cell phone. I'm trying to run the board from my cell phone, from two cell phones. I got my partner's and mine, and I'm trying to juggle two things at once. So I do apologize if this is not what I promised as a great interview, but hopefully you'll stick with us, and you can stay with us till the show goes off, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine by me, and, you know, it sounds like dedication on your behalf, you know, by any means necessary. The show must go on, right? That's cool. I get it. I'm in Ohio,
right.
So we've had storms coming through. I get it.
Yeah, I'm in North Dakota, and you know, our main flagship studio is up in Canada, up in Winnipeg. So what I usually do is I usually call in, and the board operator runs the show from there, and then puts everybody together. But since they're having power difficulties out there, I have to do everything from I borrowed two cell phones. I got my mom's cell phone, and I got my dad's cell phone, and my cell phone is broken. So we're not going to talk about this anymore. We're just going to go in the interview because this is your time. So we have Jexy Black. We have about 49 minutes here left with you. So I'm going to ask you a lot of good questions. And if there's anything that you don't want to discuss or talk about, just say, and what's your next question, and we'll move on.
Okay. No, we'll make it work.
All right. So with that being said, you know, you mentioned, you know, you're on your, you know, your fourth match. Do you know who your opponent is, and when it is, where it is, and if our fans wanted to, they're listening, could get tickets, what would they have to do?
Sure. I know a couple of them. I'll actually, as far as I know right now, I'll be off this upcoming weekend. And then July 6th, I will be at Extreme Bombshells of Wrestling in Michigan. I'm not really sure who I'm working with there, but it's an all-female show. And then the 13th, I will be up at Real Shoot in Cleveland. And I think the 19th, I'll be at Divine in Michigan. The 20th, I'll be down in West Virginia. And I can't remember who I'm fighting that day, which is bad, but I can't remember who it is. But I know that August 3rd, the New Breed show, I'll be working with Jocelyn Navarro. So I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Well, and we know that you will be the victor in that match because, you know, don't take this the wrong way. I mean, I've seen you. I know what you look like, and you got that, I'm going to come to that ring, and I'm going to take you out, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
I know that's right. I won't back down from nobody. No, we're going to bring it. It's going to be some fire. It'll be fun. And looking forward to getting my hand raised at the end.
So we have Jexy Black as our guest. You're listening to Cut the Promo Podcast. The Icon has hijacked the show today from Jordan Garber. I know he's listening, and I know he's trying to get in on the studio, but, you know, when you lock the studio door and you take the key so he can't get in, that's what happens. The Icon comes through. Anyway, we'll get back to this. So, you know, I always ask the same questions to all independent wrestlers. I'm going to ask these to you. And no independent wrestler that I've had on has answered the question the same way, so I'm going to put this to you. As an independent wrestler, you know, you do what you want, you control your own destiny, you go where you want, you say what you want, you do what you want. The WWE, you know, they control all aspects of your life. They say you do this, you can't do this. You go here, you can't go there. You can talk to these people, you can't talk to these people. You do this, you do that. And no questioning. Now, if the WWE were to give you a call and offer you that $1 million contract, this is a two-part question. Is that something that you'd want to do? And if you do get that $1 million contract because you have the drive to do so, would you not big time us and still talk to us and still be our friend?
we'll answer the second one first. I mean, of course, I would still talk to you. You know, I'm not that type of person to begin with. You know, always understand where I came from, where I started, the people who gave me a chance to begin with. I have no reason not to. You know, I've always been a big Hardy Boy fan, and one of the biggest things that always stood out to me growing up and, you know, seeing different interviews from them is when Jeff Hardy, he said, I haven't changed, it's just my surroundings that have changed. So I've kind of always lived by that in a way at the same time. Like, I'm not a different person. It's just everything around me is a little bit different. But, yeah, if they called me and they wanted to sign me, I absolutely would do it. You know, I think growing up as a kid, I always watched WWE. Who doesn't want to have that WrestleMania moment? I think if anybody says that they don't, they're lying. But of course I would. And as far as the creative and stuff goes, I mean, it is what it is. Like, even as an independent, you don't have full reign of what you do and what you say, because sometimes the things that you want to say, it's not PR, it's not good business to say them. At the end of the day, you still have to answer to the promoter, and if the promoter wants you to do a certain thing for their company, you know, you're going to do what they're asking you to do. So you do, yes, you do have more creative control, but you're not in full control overall, period. Like, you still have to answer to people. There's still rules. There's still things you have to follow one way or the other.
Well, you know, that kind of spins me to the next question. You know, you kind of mentioned, you know, you still have to do what the promoter asks. You know, here's my question on that line. Now, let's say, you know, that the promoter wants to put you in, say, like an evening gown match or a pillow fight or a bra and panties match. Is that off limits to you? Stuff like that? Like they used to in the Attitude Era?
I mean, me personally, I would not do a bra and panties match, an evening gown match, sure, why not? There has to be a reason for it. And I think most promoters are smart enough to understand that there has to be a reason for what they're doing, you know, because especially if you have a fan base that's loyal and comes around all the time, they know the consistency, they know the continuity of things that are going on, things that happen in past shows, and you know, if it doesn't make any sense, it's not going to make any sense to them, and it'll come across as weird and just awkward. But I wouldn't be opposed to it if it was an actual reason for it. I do think at the same time that most promoters have kind of stepped away from the Attitude Era, whole diva kind of thing going on, and they would rather present us more and as an actual wrestler, you know, because that's what we are at the end of the day. We're wrestlers, just the same as the guys are. So I think they'd rather hold us in that role. I think most of the fans would probably rather see that. You know, I would hope so anyway at this point. But
right.
We've gone too far forward to go that fast.
Yeah, we have Jexy Black is our guest. We have about 40 minutes left with Jexy. You're listening to Cut the Promo Podcast. The Icon has hijacked the show because Jordan Garber got locked out of the studio. Anyway, so now – You know, I'll admit, as a guy, you know, and I'd be lying if I didn't say this, you know, back in the day when they did have the divas, when they had the pillow fights and the gravy bowl match, I mean, I was entertained by that. But now, as a wrestling fan, I'd much rather see a good wrestling match between two female wrestlers that are not known as divas, but they're known as, it's known as women's wrestling, the way it should be. Not having put out there for the sex or for the look or anything like that. I mean, you know, a female wrestler can't help it if she's good looking like you are. You know, I mean, you can't help that. But, you know, you don't want to be exploited either. You just want to go out and wrestle and kick somebody's ass.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm a fighter too. I'm an athlete. And that's what I trained for. And that's, you know, the role that I would like to be seen in. You know, especially with as many, I don't know if I say the word sacrifices, but with everything that, you know, other women have gone through and done to like pave the way for us to even be at this point, you know, China, especially.
My all-time favorite.
Oh, she's my all-time favorite too. I love her. She's very quite literally the reason why, you know, I decided to do this. I always looked up to her, admired her, you know, a lot of love for her. A lot of respect. But I think just to throw away everything that these people have done to go back to that. I mean, it still exists. You can still have it. You can still have the sex appeal. That's always going to be there too, you know. But to solely focus on that, I think is just silly.
Exactly. Now, you know, you mentioned China. I'll kind of mention this real quick. You know, the director that did the documentary with China, we had him as a guest on a show, maybe about a year ago now. And, you know, he spent every single day with China, you know.
Sure.
And he had mentioned the day that she was, you know, found in her apartment. And it was very devastating to me because she was a hero of mine. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show, but you're a hero of mine now as well because of your drive to be the best that you can be. Now,
well, thank you.
Along that line, this is another question I'd like to ask all independent wrestlers. Every good wrestler has a great finishing maneuver. I want to know what yours is, what's involved, what's it called, and I'll see if I'm willing to let you practice on me after you tell me what it is.
I don't know if you'd really want to take it, but no, I call it the J code, and I do the code breaker.
Okay.
Nice, quick, simple, get it out of anywhere. You know, it's kind of like the RKO in a way, out of nowhere.
No, that sounds pretty devastating. What do you call it?
I call it the J code.
The J code. Oh.
Correct.
That's awesome. Now, I kind of figured maybe like call it like the blacklist or something.
You know, I thought about it, but with the Aleister Black and everything coming around, I kind of wanted to shy away from that, even though it is my last name. But and you know, I say the J code also is something that I live by. It's a series of rules, standards, things that I, you know, try to live up to and maintain. So there's a little bit more to it than that, but that's what I call it. And it works. It's devastating. I just beat somebody with it 2 weeks ago.
Right. You know, and, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I'm kind of curious, you know, for those of you that don't know, Jexy Black, I'm going to, before the interview here, we got about, I don't know, 34 or so minutes. And Jexy, I hope you'll hang on with us. I hope you can. I hope we're not keeping you from anything you scheduled because we only had you scheduled for a half hour. But I'm kind of curious about the spelling of your last name, B-L-A-double-K. How did that come about? Where did you come up with the double K, or is that the way that your last name is spelled?
You know, for a really long time, like when we were conceptualizing different ideas, I was just Jexy, And one of the boys, you know, we maybe should think about getting a last name, or like, you know, kind of thinking about something. And it came up with last name Black, and I'm like, well, you know, you have Aleister Black. I don't want to just do that. You know, spelt like the color, whatever. And I'm like, well, what about B-L-A-C-C? And he's like, nah, you know, I don't really like that. Why don't you try it with two K's? And, you know, it suits you a little bit more. And plus, when somebody goes to look you up, it's unique to you. And, you know, it will automatically come up with all of your stuff as opposed to someone else. So there's a little bit of marketing behind that. And I do have to give credit. It's Orlando Christopher, actually, who helped me come up with that. So I can't just say it was all on my own. He definitely had a part in that, too.
And, you know, and now I like your first name too, Jexy. I mean, it's just got that, it just kind of rolls off the tongue, you know, and just like, it's just like really, really awesome. Like Jexy, it rhymes with a word that starts with S, but we're not going to get into that because we already talked about that. But it's just kind of cool. It's like the way that's put together. Now, with that being said, I hate to keep saying that because I'm trying to do like 10 things at once so I can get this all done, and I don't hit the wrong button and disconnect anybody. That's what I'm trying to do. But with that being said. You've had 4 matches and you've been around wrestling for 15 years. When you decided to go full on and you said, this is what my career is going to be. What were your parents' reactions, your relatives' reaction when you tell them I'm going to be a wrestler? Were they supportive? Did they say, can't you be a doctor or a lawyer? What was that like? How did that go?
Nobody was surprised. I think, absolutely supportive to answer that. You know, everybody in my life that, you know, is either a friend or my family has known that that's what I've wanted to do since I was a little kid. You know, like I said, when I was 15, I was around a lot. And I actually had a local wrestler from around my area that would take me to different shows, different indie shows. And network, and you know, he would show me stuff in the ring. So I think the whole part of me being a doctor, actually, you know, doing something collegiate level with my life has been out the window for a very long time. I did go to college, been to school, but nobody was surprised. I think my mom was a little bit surprised that I decided to do it so much later on in life, but at the same time, it ended up working out better that way because I had a chance to, you know, do different things. And every time I would just come back to it, you know, like working different jobs, being in different places, moving around the country. And, you know, you start a new job and it's like, oh, this is great. This is cool because it's new, right? But then it like wears off and you're like, oh, this sucks. And, you know, if I could do anything, I just want to be a wrestler. And just going back to it over and over and over again. And, you know, finally I just made the decision because I was actually living in San Diego at the time. You know, again, I'm from Ohio. I was living out in San Diego. And I just kind of had this moment in my life, like it sounds really, really kind of twisted to say, but I did emergency dispatch out there. I did for almost 4 years. And like, there was one day, like I was literally walking into work and I'm like, again, it sounds twisted, but I was like, I'd rather just jump off this balcony right now than go into work. Like I didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't want to do it anymore. And, just kind of had this like full life change. And, you know, I left California, left my house, left my friends and came back here and, you know, started training and just kind of went from there. But I'm living my truth. It's, you know, in my heart, what I've always loved, what I've always really wanted to do, and kind of just ended up coming back to it. And best decision I think I've ever made in my life. Cause I, you know, it's happy. I'm not just living anymore. I'm actually like living, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And, you know, the cool thing about, you know, that is, you know, your drive and you have a great support system. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from any of my relatives or anything, but if I told them I wanted to be a wrestler, they'll say, no, you're going to be an accountant or something like that.
Yeah. Go do something productive with your life. No. Yeah.
Right. And
wrestling, so it's cool.
Right. Well, you know, the whole productive thing in my life hasn't really happened yet. This is really the only productive thing I'm doing. is the, you know, is my two radio shows. And, you know, like I say, I don't want to turn this into about me, but,
by all means.
Now, you know, you started training how long ago?
I started training in September at the Ohio Professional Wrestling Academy.
And who was your trainer, if you can say?
I actually have three, which is kind of cool. The head trainer there is James Avery. And then I also have Samson Grove and Chad Stevens. They've all been around, you know, 20 years apiece. So collectively, good 60 years experience, you know, between all of them. So we kind of get hit from different ways, different perspectives. You know, one may see something different than the other one does, but it's a good place to go. Very supportive people. They don't BS you, you know, they'll tell you the truth because they actually want you to be good.
Now, what do they charge? Do they charge by the class? Do they charge by the session? Do they charge by the hour? What kind of fees were involved?
It's per month, and we train every Sunday from 11 to 2. And they charge, it's $100 a month, which is actually very reasonably priced, considering what some of the other schools charge. And, you know, it's full everything. You know, they help you with character. They help with promos. Like, you know, you're not only getting the training, but you get the full picture with everything. You know, they'll help you with gear ideas, with bookings, networking, meeting different people. So they do everything, and it's definitely worth it.
Now, with the training that you have, do you obviously do shows for them, correct?
Not necessarily for them. My first show actually, yes and no. Once a year, they do an all-student show, which the entire card is showcasing our students, which is actually really cool. So that was where my debut was actually at our school show. But they're involved with a lot of local promotions down in Columbus. That's where the school's based out of. So I don't necessarily work for them, but when we have our once-a-year school show, then yes.
And when you had your first show, were you first on the card, second in the card, or how do they determine who goes when in the matches? Did you just fight amongst other students?
Yes, kind of. We had a tag team battle royal, and that was the first match on the card, so that was pretty cool. That's, you know, was my break-in, which is not all that unusual. A lot of the times when you're first starting out, they'll throw you in a battle royal, some kind of scramble, just to get you a little bit of time, but it doesn't force you to be one-on-one and have that pressure. It gives you the experience, and you can kind of learn from that, you know, working with the crowd and kind of get over some of those initial nerves. So it's actually, I think it's a little bit better that way. I know there's people who get thrown into singles right away, and you know, it works, it's fine, but I think it's a good way to break somebody in.
And did you come out the victor?
I did not. I got ran up on from behind.
You got
cheated. I did make it to the final five. I got cheated. Made it to the final five, working my way through. Guy, real life Gumby, had to come up behind me and throw me out. You know, I got my eye on him, though. I will get him back. I know where he lives.
Oh, it was the guy that threw you out?
It was. Yeah, my tag team partner got
eliminated
at the beginning. So it was me versus two other tag teams. Didn't really stand much of a chance.
And are you able to let us know who this guy is? And is he on your radar for a rematch? Or do you, not to give too many things away, but do you plan on returning the favor and giving him a receipt?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, I'm sure we'll see each other somewhere down the line. We call him Bendy, but his name's John.
John, you call him Bendy.
We call him Bendy. This guy's like a real life Gumby. It's kind of nuts.
Well, you know, I might have to, you know, when you get onto him again, we might have to change his name to Bohica. Bend over, here it comes again.
That is 100% the truth.
We got Jaxie Black here as our guest. You're listening to Cut the Promo Podcast. We have about 25 minutes here left with Lexi. Now I'm going to get into some of the harder questions for you. They may be easy, they may be hard, but we want to get into the heart of the interview. Now, when you wrestle, would you consider yourself a babyface, a heel, an in-betweeny, or are you what the crowd decides that you're going to be kind of wrestling?
That's kind of a difficult question to answer because you really, again, it goes back to what does the promoter want you to do. Usually when you're starting out, you're more on the face side because generally the heel is, you know, the vet in the match and they kind of lead things a little bit more, the more experienced, and it's, you know, their job, you know, obviously it's both of your jobs to make each other look good. But they do a better job at building you up because, again, you know, they have more experience than you. So I've found myself playing a lot more face roles. When I, you know, managed a few weeks ago, I got to be in a heel role. But, again, I was, you know, managing somebody who's a 14-year vet, so that made it a little bit easier. And I actually really enjoyed that. Kind of would rather play the heel role more so, but it's whatever they want you to do. You have to know how to do both, period. There's no way around it. And if you're in between, you're doing your job, but you're not doing your job at the same time. Does that make sense?
Right.
You can't be the hero and the bad guy at the same time.
Right. And with your wrestling style, would you consider yourself to be a high flyer like a Rey Mysterio, a technical wrestler like a Bret Hart, or do you have that grunty style like a Stone Cold Steve Austin?
And I would, you know, love to be a high flyer someday, be on Rey Mysterio's level. But they do a lot of more technical, try to move around as much as possible. Chris Benoit's, you know, all one of my favorites of all time. Shawn Michaels is one of my favorites of all time. So pull a lot of things from them. I'm still beginning. So there's a lot of work to be done and just kind of go out there and do what you can, I guess, if that makes sense. But I'm not sure I can really say I have an exact style. It's kind of a mishmash of a lot of things.
And, you know, I'm kind of curious. You know, I'm looking at your face on Facebook, and like I said, I'll let you promote that here before we let you go. But I was kind of curious about your – now, don't take this the wrong way. I know our fans already know this is coming, but – your in-ring attire, is that, did you design that or did you buy that outfit somewhere? It's like this leather thing with, you know, like one of your semi-breastness is kind of showing or both of them, you know what outfit I'm talking about? The black one?
That's my glitter gear.
I love that.
Thank you. I consider myself to be a little bit of glam rock. Some glitter punk. So I really put it together myself. I make my own knee pads, like the covers for my knee pads. I'm very inspired by Manami Toyota. So I have, you know, other gear sets that I kind of have that are inspired by her. Haven't really debuted them yet. Kind of been waiting for that. But I wanted to go with the whole glitter thing. So finding, you know, material that matched that was really the number one goal. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we touched on it a little bit earlier. Me, myself, I've always been a little bit more tomboyish, I guess, in ways where, like, you know, T-shirts, shorts, jeans, whatever, you know, not really kind of, like, showing my assets. And my trainers are like, you got to, like, don't wear shorts. You got to do, you know what I mean? Like, so you kind of just learn that's the way it is and you roll with it, I guess. So we all kind of just put it together that way, but I'm cool with it now.
I do like about that pic, what I do like about the picture, you know, it's like if you kind of study it and no, I wasn't for our fans listening, I wasn't studying it because of that. And I'm sure you know what I'm referring to, but in the picture over your shoulder, there's this goofy guy in the audience. He's wearing like a hat and like these crazy sunglasses, you know, like he's like in disguise, like he shouldn't be there or something.
I will have to go and look and see what picture you're talking about, because I'm not even entirely sure. That's funny. It's like some Where's Waddle kind of type thing.
Well, it's your profile picture.
Let me go look. That's actually kind of funny. I don't know. I've honestly never been noticed. Oh, yeah. I totally see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think that's just how we roll
outfit,
through
right?
the show. What's that?
Yeah, that is your glow outfit, right?
Yeah, yeah. My glitter punk.
Your glitter punk outfit. I love that. I mean, yeah, so a lot of fans are thinking, I'm like noticing that, you know, you can see one of your assets, but no, I was looking at the guy with the crazy shades. He's like, geez, I hope no one sees me. I mean, it's like some kind of witness protection program or something. Now the guy will listen to the show, then he'll call in and he'll start getting on me. But anyway, that's another story. We got Jexy Black here. We got about 19 minutes here left with Jexy. When you are out there and you're trying to get booked and you want to book yourself, you try and get yourself out there once a week, twice a week, once every other week, a couple times a month, a couple times a quarter. How often do you try and get booked?
Well, I mean, if I had my way of it, I'd do it every day of the week. But ideally every weekend, kind of want to be doing, you know, Friday, Saturday, if there's Sunday shows, there's some here and there. But most places run on Saturdays. So I try to always at least have something coming up for the weekend. Just a lot of networking and getting to know people and people, you know, vouching for you, and you kind of just go from there. But I do it every day if I could. I work a normal job at the same time, so I have to try to work around that. But even though wrestling's still my priority, but.
Now, you know, you mentioned you have a real-time job. It's like, I think we all do. It's like we all want wrestling to be our full-time gig, but we have to have a normal job to pay the bills just like everybody else does. But do your coworkers know that you're a wrestler?
My boss does. I kind of try to keep it separate. Some people do because they found – I mean, we have a local promotion here called War in Lima, and there's been people that have seen me from my job there and ultimately ended up putting the pieces together and then, you know, come to work wearing my collar and elbow, support your local indie wrestler, you know, hoodie in the wintertime, and then they start to ask a little bit more questions of what's this about. Most don't. Like I said, my boss does. I told him, you know, straight up, okay, this is what I'm doing on the weekends. If I need a day off, have a show. Try to be as upfront and honest about it as I can. But I think when you start to mix the two, it can cause drama that is unneeded. Maybe drama is not
right.
The right word. It's unnecessary attention.
It could cause a friction. In other words, you know. But you know, I know you won't. You can't tell us what your other job is, but now, and I think you just kind of touched on this. Now, when you're wrestling and wherever you're working at is your full-time job. Now, you said there has been fans that have came to the show that have recognized you at your other normal job.
Right. My coworkers have gone with their kids or, you know, their husband, wife, and they've seen me and like see me the next day and they're like, hey, so are you a wrestling fan? You know what I mean? They kind of just like dig a little bit, especially when they see you coming and going from the locker room, or they see you running the merch tables, or, you know, seeing you doing ring setup, tear down, whatever it would be, kind of ask a little bit more questions about like, why are you involved with this? And, you know, kind of goes from there.
And you tell them you really don't want to go into detail, right? Or you really can't or don't want to.
the ones that have asked me, like I said, I try to kind of like walk around it a little bit, and then if they just point blank ask me, like, so are you a wrestler? I'll say yes. But otherwise, I just say, yeah, you know, I work with the promotion and try to help out at the shows. And it's not, I'm not embarrassed by it, not at all. You know, I wear my wrestling flag with pride, you know, strut it all around.
I think it'd be real. Yeah, because I think it'd be like really cool. It's like, you know, you're at your job, and then someone comes and says, hey, there's that gal we saw wrestling last weekend, and she kicked the hell out of her opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. Then they ask you, can you body slam me? Do you know The Rock? And they just.
yeah, that's when you say, well, hell yeah, I know The Rock. I taught him how to speak on the microphone.
Yeah. Right. This is why I talk in third person.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Hey, I'm Jexy Black said. Anyway, we got Jexy Black here. We got about 12 minutes left here with you on Cut the Promo Podcast. It's the Icon taking over for Jordan Garber, who has been locked out of the studio because they have a digital lock, and there's power out in Canada where he's at right now because of a big storm. So the Icon has taken this thing over, and he invited probably the coolest, the hottest independent wrestler, female, currently on the independent circuit, and it's Jexy Black. So we're going to continue with his interview here. So let's see, we've covered this, we've covered that, and I'm trying to think. Because, you know, usually I have guests on for 30 minutes, and I've asked all the normal stuff, so now I'm going to kind of go into a little deeper part of your career. Now, with as we go, where do you see yourself wanting to go within the next year or year and a half or next couple years in your career?
Sure. You know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing right now. I like going to the different towns, different cities, and working all over the place. But ideally, ultimately, I'd love to end up in Japan. That's one of the end goals for sure. Definitely go work, train in Japan. If I, again, got invited to work with the Fed, of course, I'd go do that. But, you know, not, you know, even ROH, Impact, love to do any of it, really. But like I said, ultimate end is Japan.
How about the what is it that where wrestling's finally gonna the WWE is finally gonna get a kick in the ass by the AEW, I think it is now.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. And I know as you're a wrestler, I know you're watching the product. I mean, you know, I'm an old timer myself. I went through the Legends era, and then the New Generation, and then the Attitude era, and then the PG era, and now they're in the What the Frick Do They Think They're Doing era. That's what they're at right now, because they are insulting our intelligence right now, really. But let me ask you this: watching the product, what is your thought on the product currently?
You mean Fed-wise?
You know, like with their storylines and all that stuff, what do you think the status is? Like for the WWE, the direction that they're going?
That's a little bit difficult question to answer, because me personally, I watch Raw, I watch SmackDown, I watch pay-per-views, you know, watch Stomping Grounds Tonight, NXT, whatever, but I don't necessarily watch for the storyline. I'm usually more watching wrestlers, what they're doing, how they're doing things, more studying. But the storylines, I think where it kind of gets convoluted is because of the social media age that we're in. I grew up in the Attitude Era, and while the internet
probably the greatest era in wrestling history, in my opinion.
Personally, I think so. I still go back now and watch stuff from that, you know, kind of relive it, and you know, it is my favorite too.
Now,
you know, but again, I'm sorry.
And I'll let you finish your thought here in a second. But, you know, what I would do anything to go back in time or have it happen now, the Monday Night Wars, you know, back when I was, you know, back when I was, you know, when they had the Monday Night Wars, and I'll ask what you did at the time, too. What, you know, we used to have, you know, USA Network and TNT, right? Our cable company, USA Network, was on Channel 7. TNT was on Channel 9. So what I would do is I would just, like, flip back and forth, up and down, up and down. Then everybody got ticked at me because they wanted to watch it with me. So what I did was, because Raw was taped, I would record that, and then I would watch WCW Live for 3 hours and watch Monday Night Raw. And even though the fact I had to get up for school at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was up till 2:33 in the morning watching wrestling. And since I moved out of my parents' house, now they can't ground me for staying up that late anymore. But you know, what did you do back during the Monday Night Wars?
Well, I mean, I watched ECW 2 when it was, and it's still glory days. But I was always very hardcore WWE, WWF at the time. You know, there was part of me, at least to my friends and to my family, that wouldn't be caught dead watching WCW because I was so hardcore. Like, you know, again, with the Monday night, everything going on, like, I watched Raw live, not live, but, you know, all the way through. And then, you know, just loving wrestling, found guys in WCW talent there that I liked and knew would kind of peek here and there, but I didn't do the channel flip. My brother, though, my younger brother, he was actually loved Goldberg. And he used to make me so mad because he would go and he'd be watching WCW while I'm in my room, you know, watching Raw. And me being, you know, the little degenerate jerk sister that I am, I actually went and put a parental lock on that channel on his TV one time so he couldn't watch WCW. And it got a lot of real life heat for that too.
That is actually hilarious. You know, like, you know, see with WCW, okay, when they had the first Nitro, I was there. It was at the Mall of America. I'm from North Dakota.
Okay.
It was at the Mall of America. My sister lived there at the time, so we were at the Mall of America, so we saw the first show. You know, and I really didn't like WCW at all. I mean, I thought it was cool that I got to finally see Lex Luger, you know. But the thing about it is, I didn't start watching Monday Nitro until Scott Hall showed up. You know,
oh, okay.
I got a call from my buddy. Hey, Icon. I said, what? Razor Ramon was just on Monday Nitro. I'm like, no, he wasn't. You know, he's a WWE guy or WWF at the time. Like, no, he was on. And you know, back then they didn't have DVRs, you know, so you really couldn't, you know, you couldn't go back and rewind and watch it. And they, you know,
right.
They didn't, there wasn't really big internet at that time. There was no YouTube. There's no Facebook. There's no this, there was no social media. I mean, and then I like watched the next week and then there was Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. And then he said, I got a big surprise for you. It's like, what could that be? So I tuned in the next week and here it was Diesel, Kevin Nash. I'm like, Kevin Nash is gone. Diesel is gone too. And then they said, you know, we got a surprise buddy. I'm like, who else is going over there? What is going on? I mean, think about this. Kayfabe, and I'll get your opinion on this. We got Jexy Black here. We got about 7 minutes left here, left of the show. We got Jexy Black with us on Cut the Promo Podcast, Icon taking over for Garber. The thing is, Kayfabe is dead. Can you imagine the NWO wouldn't survive nowadays because of the social media and all that stuff. What is your opinion on that?
I think you touched on a couple of different things. Going back to one of your original questions that you actually kind of went into, where you tuned in the next week because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have all this crazy social media. So you had that build, you had that want to watch next week. So I think that's part of what affects the storylines now and why they just give us everything right away, is because you have every single day, 24 hours a day, social media. People are posting, people are making videos. You know, you have live, up-to-date, breaking news. All of this, they can't build the way that they used to because we have so much access to all of these things. I feel like they kind of just have to give it to us. Whereas back then, you had a little bit more of an attention span, a little bit more of a build because it didn't exist. So if you wanted to know what was going on, you had to watch.
Right. And, you know, and the other thing, it's like, you know, they have like, you know, Total Bellas and Total Divas. It's like, okay, you know, John Cena was dating one of the Bellas and what's his name is married to the other Bella.
Daniel Bryan.
I can't think of his name. Right, exact. Daniel Bryan. Now, the thing is, Daniel Bryan is a jerk on screen, okay? But you see him on Total Divas, he's like, you know, he's like the happy-go-lucky dad, you know, that's married to a Bella. You know, it's like, you know, now with shows like that, it's like people see through that. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, now that we have the WWE Network, I mean, when I was a teen back then, and all the, if we would have had all this wrestling on when I was a teen, I would have been in seventh heaven.
Yeah.
I never would have quit. No. And you know, the sad thing is, it's like, I still watch Raw, I still watch SmackDown, but you know, they have all these other special shows on the network. I don't have time, you know, because you know, I got to work. You know, why did they have this stuff when I was a kid? I mean, you know, it's just not fair. We have Lexi Black here, Cut the Promo Podcast icon, sitting in for Garber, who is locked out of the studio right now. We got a couple minutes left here. We're going to end this, but one thing that we do want to do, if our fans wanted to check you out and keep track of it, you got an Instagram, you got a YouTube, you got a Facebook, you got a Twitter, you got a Twitch, you got a GoFundMe. What do you got?
I do have a few of those, actually. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jexy Rocks. And you can find me on Facebook at Jexy Black, JexyBlack. I am actively working on building a YouTube channel. As soon as I get more content, probably have that up and running. But otherwise, hit me up on there. Come say hi. Like, share, post. You know, come to the shows. Kind of going to be all around the place. All over.
Well, let me ask you this. If I can get to one of your shows and if I contact you, do you think you can put the icon on your guest list?
Yeah, of course. Walk you in the building myself.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll even do one better for you. I'll even walk you to the ring. I'll carry your bags. I'll shine your shoes, do all that stuff.
There you go. Free shoe shine. How are you going to pass that up? No. Sure.
And then,
yeah, definitely.
And then real quick here, I got a couple of ego questions here for you. The icon made you a cool collector's card. What did you think of that?
You did. It's actually really, really cool. You know, it caught me by surprise. Definitely didn't expect that. But I thank you and I really appreciate it. I think it was really cool. It looks really good. I dig it for sure. Like I showed my mom. So check this out.
And then if we get an opening, can we get you on Attitude Era Live as well?
If it has something to do with Attitude Era, I am there. Of course.
Okay, cool. And then you can be on with my cohorts, the Big Swing and Granny Hulkster. You'll love her. I guarantee you.
Okay.
So we have Jexy Black. We got about 30 seconds here left. I do want to thank you, Jexy, for taking time on your schedule to join us. I do apologize for the lateness and the studio mix-up, but you've been awesome, and hoping to scare you away too much, and we will definitely have you on the other show within a few weeks, I would guess, and you've been awesome, and I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate you having me, and, you know, you taking your time to talk to me as well. Definitely had a good time. More than happy to come back. Hit me up whenever. So thank you. I definitely
awesome,
appreciate
Lexi.
It.
Thank you. Have a great night. Talk to you soon.
You too. Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Lexi Black, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, this is Cut the Promo Podcast, the icon in for Jordan Garber. I've hijacked the show again. I like to do that every once in a while. And you notice every time I hijack the show, I always bring the best-looking females that money can buy in the wrestling ring. Real quick here, I want everybody to tune in to Attitude Era Live tomorrow night from 9 p.m. Central to 11 p.m. Central. We have Chase Britton, we have Michelle Spradlin, and we have the legend, Manny Fernandez, on with us. We got a three-guest show. You can join us, which is me, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster. And we look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. We want to thank you for joining us. We apologize for the late break-in. But next week, we will get this thing back on track. And hopefully, Jordan will be able to get into the studio. And if not, the Icon will hijack the show again. Next week, we have Felicia Fanning on with us, Big Mama. And we have Melissa Rose Winchester. She was supposed to be on tonight, but because of the studio issue that we had, we weren't able to get her, but we will get her on next week. Until then, this is the Icon saying Cut the Promo Podcast and always be Attitude Era Live with us. We're always here. Tune in tomorrow night. Tune in next Sunday night, and we will see you next week. Take care.